Welcome to another episode of the On Not Net Show. My name is Cecil Phillip, and right now we're in the Dominican Republic at the Caribbean Developers Conference 2019. And what we're going to be doing is doing interviews with a bunch of folks that are local that are making a lot of really interesting technology with .NET and Azure. So right now I have with me my friend Raul, who's going to tell us a little bit about some of the projects that he's been working on. So Raul, why don't we start off with you just telling me a little bit about who you are and what are some of the things that you do here?
Right. So I'm Raul. I live in the DR. And I have a company that offers automation using AI to private and public sector companies in the country.
Okay.
We're mostly doing automation of data entry, which is a stage the country is in terms of operations automation. And we're creating a robot that basically reads any kind of document, and depending on the context, extracts information.
That's awesome. Why don't you tell me a little bit about some of the tools that you're using to kind of put the solution together?
So we have a bunch of predictive models that help us read the documents. And since we handle a big load of documents throughout the day, we're using auto-scaling features in Azure, for instance, to actually auto-scale our services depending on demand. So at some point, we may be processing 300 documents, but there are some pikes in the day where we process about 10,000. So in terms of costs and effectiveness, we use tools that allow us to increase our infrastructure depending on the demand.
Nice, awesome. So why don't you tell me, what made you decide to use Azure, for instance, to run some of this workload for you?
So most of our stack is running .NET, and it seems like the natural fit for the type of stuff we're doing, but also the panels in Azure provide us with insights that help us make decisions on the infrastructure, and also they give us insights on the performance of the applications, so we know when to tweak them and how to change them depending on their use.
Got it. So like, what features exactly in Azure are you using? Because you said you're doing machine learning things, right?
Right.
So I'm guessing you're using things like Azure ML, ML Studio, and some other things like that?
Yeah, we're using some features of the ML Studio, but we're mostly using some of the open source ML libraries that you can get via NuGet. And we write most of our predictive models ourselves using proprietary technology, but most of it, everything runs on C#, and we're using .NET Core so we can actually jump around servers in Windows, Linux, or whatever. And we can leverage the power of Docker and other containers actually have a controlled environment for the deployment of our applications.
Gotcha. So you've already adopted .NET Core, and you're already using it to build like machine learning solutions and things like that.
Correct.
In the Dominican Republic.
Yes. We've been doing that for about, we've been operating for about a year, but we've been working on the technology for about 3 years before putting it to the public. Mm-hmm. And we've been using .NET Core since the beginning.
Really?
We initially started with Mono, playing around with it, and then .NET Core seemed like an organic transition for us to jump into. And also, there's a lot of developers here that use .NET, so it's a natural choice for us to in terms of hiring and other kind of stuff as well.
Right. So tell me about like how you went from Mono to .NET Core, right? Because I think for a lot of folks, they like .NET Core because it's cross-platform, it runs on Linux and Mac and Windows and those types of things. But it's also small and lightweight. So like, which one of those features were like the most beneficial for you in terms of like adopting it?
Yeah, well, basically when you use .NET, the size of the delivery package you have, it depends on the amount of libraries you're using, rather than having the whole thing as part of your environment, which was what happened before with Mono, where you had to install Mono on the system and then basically have support for the whole CLR and other options that you have, right? So the footprint of our packages or images in Docker are smaller because of this. So it's, again, why we chose to use it. And we have better support for other features that previously weren't supported in Mono because they weren't ported or something. And now we feel like we don't have to wait for it.
That's awesome. So it essentially gives you the ability to like just move so much faster, right?
Right.
And react to change really quickly and not have to like, you know, interrupt your workflow so much to kind of like get changes and features in for your customers.
Right. And sometimes when it comes to .NET Core itself, the fact that it's open source allows us to actually propose some changes that might help us to improve performance or other things that are related to the kind of work we're doing, which is a little bit special.
Yeah.
And actually, along the way, we've contributed to other of the libraries we're using in terms of open source with changes that allow us to achieve some of the goals that we have. So having that as an option as well, it's a good choice for us.
You know, I love the fact that not only you're consuming open source, but you're also giving back to it too. And it's always great for me to hear like people in the Caribbean that are making use of these products to create like real change in like the country.
Yeah.
So could you tell me a little bit about like some of the impact that like the software that you're building has had on like your customers and like some of the things that you're doing?
So yeah, we have this very interesting project where we're automating reimbursements for insurance users.
Yeah.
And at the moment, it's a very lengthy process here.
Yeah.
Usually people get money back from insurance reimbursements in about 10 days, even though the service promise is about 48 hours.
Yeah.
That actually impacts the amount of people that use the insurance to go to a doctor. So with the automation of that process, we're reducing the times from 10 days to 10 minutes. And basically we're increasing the amount of people using insurance because now they can access their money faster,
right.
Which was a choice in terms of the social state that we're in, where people chose not to go to a doctor because they rather had the money they would spend in health to use it for something else.
Sure.
Now they can use it for whatever they want.
Right. So essentially it just makes it so much easier for folks to just be able to just go in and like get their work done and get the haircut that
they before had to like take documents physically to some of the shops.
Yeah.
And now they just take pictures using an app and that gets uploaded to Azure. We process it and then we just give the money back.
You know, like you should talk to my father. So my dad's a doctor,
okay. And
like he still keeps a lot of his medical records in papers. He has like huge filing cabinets in his office, and I've been telling him for years, like, just let me come in, I'll spend like a week or two, like, and I'll just, you know, I'll help you automate some of this stuff, because it would be so much easier for us to create digital records of these things.
Right.
Because here's a real issue that, you know, so I'm from Antigua, and a real issue that we have is, you know, obviously we have hurricanes and natural disasters and those types of things. So when a hurricane comes and like it blows the roof off,
right. Now
like your medical records are all on paper. So now like the security of those things are now in jeopardy, right? So now if we can have those things backed up in the cloud, stored in a digital format, you know what I mean, and then have those preserved in like a real way, like it resolves like so many problems for us.
It does, and also there's something else you can offer to your dad in order to convince him, and it's the fact that you can use the data contained within those records to work for him, rather than him using it in a passive way when he needs to search for something.
Yeah, yeah.
He can actually do some other processing that allows him to associate some of the diagnostics to other cases or whatever that might help him give a better treatment to a patient, for instance.
Sure. Because the thing is, like, when you think about it, over time, like a single patient might have multiple records.
Right.
And now we're keeping these things on paper as like the main source of truth. But like, let's say you're my patient for like 10 years, right? Like that means I have 10 years of paperwork that I have to sort through, that I have to read through. And again, like paper wears and tears, right? Like, so the more we touch it and move around with it, it might rip, it might get wet, it'll get coffee stains and things like that will happen to it, right? And so like, now it's a question of, if this is the source of truth, like the longevity of your medical information might be, you know, might not be in a place that we want it to be in, right?
Right. And going digital is the right way because of that. And also because, again, analyzing information is the most important thing when you're treating a patient.
Sure.
And you can actually use commonalities around other patients with similar diagnostics, and you can actually give better treatments, for instance. You can search through everything, 10 years worth of data really fast. If you index it, you can actually use Azure Search on top of that.
Right.
I saw an example using the JFK files, for instance, and cognitive services, where you can actually have an example of how to, like a giant brain to go through all those records really fast. Right?
Yeah.
So yeah, and we're doing similar stuff here. But we're trying to be more active rather than passive. And basically we're trying to intercept operations that are triggered in a manual way and then just automate them using artificial intelligence and other solutions.
Sure. Let me ask you a more general question.
Okay.
How do you feel the adoption of like cloud technologies in general has been in like a country like the Dominican Republic?
Well, in comparison to other countries, I think that we are way ahead in terms of technology adoption.
Yeah.
We basically go with the trends. And I feel like even in the government, which is the slowest part of the adoption, in terms of adoption rate, they're really slow. They actually have been praising and embracing the cloud and they've been using a lot of it for some services that are public facing. And I mentioned to you earlier that actually I worked with one of the directions here that they have a private cloud in Azure, for instance.
Okay.
And they use it for other stuff as well.
Sure.
So I think that it's cheaper, it's faster, your time to market is reduced by a lot, so why not to use it? And since here we're trying to keep up with other countries in terms of the offering, in terms of tech, I think that adoption here is really, really high.
Right. I think another benefit we get as Caribbean people is that like the power of the cloud or the accessibility of the cloud gives us so many options for business owners. Right? Yeah. Because before we used to think about, well, what would it cost me to get a data center? And what would it cost me to rack up machines and like do those types of things? And now I have to think about like the maintenance of that or getting the expertise to do that.
Right.
But now I think it's so much easier for someone to, I wanted to start a business or I want to like empower my country to create intelligent solutions using software. You know, I could I could open the Azure portal and I could create a new resource, I could create a new website, I could create a new database like instantaneously. And now I can just focus on like real world problems, right? And not so much so the infrastructure.
Yeah, you're basically focusing on running your business rather than running infrastructure for your business.
Yeah. Exactly.
And again, it's a good tool as well to test business ideas really, really fast.
Yeah.
With low cost impact, right?
Right. Awesome. Awesome. Well, hey, Raul, thank you so much for coming on, man. I really appreciate you coming down and talking to us.
Thank you.
And maybe we'll have you come back on again another time that we're back here in the DR and we can talk some more.
Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And this has been another episode of the On.NET Show. We learned about some of the interesting things they're doing here with Azure in the Dominican Republic.